Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour two rolling along on a throwback Thursday. Glad you're with us, Pat Donovan, WDAE. Good friend. We get him on to talk a lot of football, especially during the Brady years in, with the Buccaneers, but NFL as well. But we're going to have him on to talk about the red-hot Tampa Bay Rays. And another question, and we'll get into it, about the viability of the Rays in the Tampa St. Pete area, something we were talking about yesterday. Major League Baseball would love to expand to 32 teams. If you look at the model that the NFL has, I mean, if you're old enough to remember the three divisions back in the old days, and some divisions had five teams, and you know, but when they sort of sorted it out, putting the Cleveland Browns back in, adding the Houston Texans in the early part of the 2000s, then they went, all right, you know what? We have 32 teams now, so let's divide this up the right way. Let's get, you know, four teams in eight divisions, and let's give four for each conference. And that made a lot of sense. Geography made sense. You didn't have the Atlanta Falcons playing in the NFC West anymore. And while you could put the Dallas Cowboys in the East based on rivalry, you had to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out of the NFC North and move them. But back then, I think they were the NFC Central. But you put them back where they belong, in the NFC South. And Major League Baseball would like to do this too. But they don't want to expand until they figure out what exactly is going on with the Oakland A's and the Tampa Bay Rays. And as we talked about yesterday, the Rays are so desperate to put people in the seats that they actually had come up with a proposal not that long ago of splitting games between Tampa St. Pete and Montreal to sort of give the old Expos fans a baseball team to root for. And I'm sure the players' union was like, nah, we're not doing that. No, thank you. You're going to have home games where the players are going to be at home. You're not going to take the team on the road for 81 games on the season plus 40 games on the season where you're playing in Montreal. No, we're not doing that. These guys have homes. They put their families in these homes. And when they're home for a 10-game homestand, they go back to their houses. They don't go to hotels because you're looking to fill seats in some other place because you can't fill seats in the stadium that you're in. But nevertheless, that was on the table. So Tampa Bay is trying to figure out its stadium situation, whether or not they're going to move out of Tropicana Field in St. Petersburg to a new facility in Tampa, or they're going to relocate. Now, if they relocate, well, that puts a little bit of a damper on the talks about where you're going to put expansion teams. The same thing going on in Oakland. Now, the Oakland situation is very, very close to them just jettisoning Oakland and moving to Las Vegas. So if you're Rob Manfred, you're watching that closely. Do I want to put an expansion team in Vegas, or do I want to wait to see what the ownership of the A's want to do? Do they want to move to Vegas if they can't get anything worked out in Oakland and it doesn't look like they are? Could we move them to Vegas? Same thing with Tampa. Why give Charlotte or Nashville a team if we just could pick up the Rays and move them there? So once they get those two things sorted out, and it could be anything from just a new deal or actual movement, then the Major League Baseball is talking about expansion. And there are a number of places in which they would like to expand. Now, I live in Nashville, and there is a baseball committee that has been put together, and a couple of big-time former players are on it that have sort of lended their expertise into getting a Major League Baseball into the city of Nashville. Now, Nashville is not one of the biggest cities in America, but it's a very wealthy city, a very, very wealthy city. So it is one of those places where, in fact, Williamson County in Nashville is I think, the second richest county in the United States next to Beverly Hills, wherever Beverly Hills is in Los Angeles, because of the country music stars. There are sections of Williamson County in Nashville where it's just acres and acres of mansions, just mansions everywhere. And it's where all the executives live. It's all the producers live. It's all the stars live, if they do have a home in Nashville. And that's their county. And it's, again, very, very wealthy. So they're feeling like per capita, they don't have to be the biggest city in America to support a baseball team. But another group has come out and said, we'd like a baseball team too. And that's Salt Lake City. So right now there's Portland, there's Salt Lake City,
there's Vegas, there's Charlotte, there's Nashville, and believe it or not, Montreal again. And there's these six options that are on the table by these cities and their groups. Now, some of them are pretty strong. I've heard through the grapevine here without talking to anybody on the committee, but just talking to media guys here in Nashville, that the Nashville committee is really strong. They've really got everything. They've got their ducks in a row. They've got a plan for a stadium. They have the funding for the stadium. They have the sponsorships attached to it. Like, they, whatever homework you've got to do to present it to Major League Baseball, Nashville's got a pretty strong case. Doesn't mean they'll get it, but they've got a pretty strong case. And I'm sure there are some others that are better and some others that are weaker. So I don't know about the validity of these cities and their push to get a Major League Baseball team. But they are committees that put together their plan and their blueprint to then look at Major League Baseball and say, we would like it here. I think the thing that benefits Nashville a lot, and Charlotte for that matter, although Charlotte's a little close to Atlanta, is that there is – St. Louis is like 5 hours away, and Cincinnati is like 4 hours away, and Atlanta is like 4 hours away. So Nashville is in a city where they're not really on anybody's territory. It's not like a San Antonio, Dallas sort of situation. It's more like, yeah, you're far away enough. But – and Salt Lake City, kind of the same thing. I mean, Salt Lake City is not one that's vying for, you know, they're not going to be poaching fans who like the Giants or something like that. There's enough gap, or the Rockies. There's enough of a gap. Portland, I wonder if Seattle considers Portland their market, but I doubt it. I don't know. But nevertheless, that's where Major League Baseball would like to go. And again, it would put in interest, it would allow Major League Baseball to add a geographical scenario to their divisions. They can really tighten up the geography. And as I've said many times, I think that where baseball has gone in the last 25 years, you want to go back to interleague play, the inclusion of interleague play to what it is today. There is no such thing as an AL and an NL that is its own separate entity. Those days are gone. Like, just like we don't look at the NBA as a Western Conference versus Eastern Conference, and they both do their own thing, and they both have their own rules. Those lines are blurred now with baseball. In the last 25 years, what started out as, you know, wouldn't it be great if the Yankees could play the Mets? Wouldn't it be great if the White Sox and the Cubs could meet, and the Angels and the Dodgers could play, and the A's and the Giants could play, and the Expos and the Toronto Blue Jays could play? This was 95, 96, right? Yeah, it was like, yeah, you know what? That's a good idea. We should have an interleague weekend, right? And that's what they did. They said, oh, it's going to be an interleague weekend. And we'll have another one too, so you can have some other teams. And what ended up happening? It's a faucet. You turn on the faucet, drip, 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 but eventually you open it up and the waters come out. What do we have now? There's no such thing as interleague weekend anymore. The Mets are going on the road on Friday. They start a series in Oakland against the A's, and no one cares.
No, it's not special.
It's not special. Right? It does not matter. You go play teams, and it doesn't matter what league they're in. And now with the designated hitter in both leagues, now that line is gone too. So all of the things that separated these two leagues, and again, you don't have to go back far in the generations to find people that thought, what are you talking about? You know, my grandfather's day, you were a National League guy or an American League guy. Right, you carried the flag for the league, and now it's so blurred. So why not do that? Why not, if you're Rob Manfred, why not put two expansion teams down and go, now I got 32, I can do the eight divisions, four teams each. That might even ease the playoff situation. We might have to create a whole new playoff scenario based on these divisions. But yeah, geography works out great. The evenness works out great. Playoff structure might get a little easier. There's a whole bunch of ways you can do this now. But they're not going to budge on it one bit until they find out where these teams are in terms of where they're going to be in the next couple of years. And that's Oakland and Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa Bay, again, is, I remember when they came into the league in 98, because I was in Las Vegas at the time, and we were an affiliate of the Diamondbacks. So I was working at this station, and we were an affiliate of the Diamondbacks. And, of course, my wife being from St. Petersburg and didn't live that far from Tropicana Field, she was pretty excited that her hometown had a team. But we were living in Las Vegas, and Arizona was emerging on the scene. And I had known for a while that the Diamondbacks – that I had known before the Diamondbacks were announced that the city of Phoenix was growing and would like a baseball team. There was always a buzz. You didn't have to be in the business. There was always a buzz about Phoenix. Phoenix, 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 getting a team, getting a team, getting a team. So it wasn't that surprising when they did. Same thing in Denver. Same thing in Denver. I remember Rick Riley writing a column in the back of Sports Illustrated about Major League Baseball should come to Denver. And this was in the late 80s. And they did. And they did. And Miami was the same thing. Miami was growing too much. You had to have a team down there. And now you're looking at cities that are doing, you know, are kind of those cities today and whether Major League Baseball would like to expand. But in Tampa, it really was surprising to me, to be honest with you, that they never got that stadium. I'd love to know the real details of how Arizona got Bank One Ballpark. Remember when it was called Bank One Ballpark, the Bob? Remember when it was the Bob? Now it's Chase Field. But how they got a beautiful stadium built. Coors Field is fantastic. It's gorgeous. I mean, Coors Field is great. The sun sets in the back. It's a beautiful place for a baseball game. Now, I know the situation in Miami is horrible. They promised this, promised that, got funding. It's a bad, bad story. But Tampa Bay took an already existing building and turned it into a baseball stadium the best they possibly could. When you get a team, I thought it was supposed to include plans for a really, really nice stadium, and that never happened for the Tampa Bay Rays. All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb is coming up next.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue as Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. Let's start with the good of the day. It's a throwback Thursday, by the way. On this day, Tiger Woods won the Masters in 97. Jack Nicklaus won the Masters in 86. And a whole bunch of other people won the Masters, too. But what is the good of the day?
Hey, those are great.
Those are great.
Those are great. Winning the Masters, getting that green jacket, that'd be amazing. But I don't know. I mean, even though they're great, they're not as good as being able to take 15 seconds of fame and turning it into something that could last longer.
Okay, let's hear this one out.
And that's the Yankees bat boy.
Yeah, this was a fun little story.
So, you know, let me back it up a little bit. If you don't know Yankee rules, there are certain rules that if you are a member of the club, you have to abide by, and that is having a clean-cut haircut. You know, not too much facial hair. I don't even think mustaches are allowed, right?
I don't think so. Facial hair is not allowed, yeah.
Facial hair is not allowed, except Don Mattingly was okay with it, I guess.
I
don't know. I'm still to this day trying to figure that one out. And, you know, you have to wear, like, the Yankee uniform. Well, the Bat Boy for the Yankees with their road trip to Cleveland, he is a drummer in a band called Open Doors. And when he was called out on air, I mean, the longest, straightest hair I think I've ever seen in a Yankee uniform ever. Sporting a, you know, not really cleaned up mustache and, you know, sporting bright red shoes, running out there and grabbing the bats.
Yeah.
And so last night, since he got called out, he decided to have a little fun with it. You know, no longer the bright red shoes, still having that, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct mustache, but he tucked his long hair up into the batting helmet that he was wearing.
Nice.
So it appeared he had short hair. But what I'm saying is that, you know, why is this good? The story went viral, and so his band is getting a lot more publicity. People are starting to share the band's songs.
That's pretty great. That's pretty great.
And so, I mean, I don't have any to play.
Right, but that's cool.
But I mean,
wasn't it Michael Kay doing like kind of a bit about him?
Yes,
I never thought I would see a Yankee. Jason LaConfora pointed out, like, he was really like, oh, Yankees, blah blah blah, these rules, blah blah. Whatever. But it went that viral that quickly.
Yeah,
and people started digging in. Who is this guy? Whoops, he's got a band. Oh, you're right. It's amazing how you can take that 15. Now, we talked about this, I think, Monday. The girl at the Masters.
Right, yeah.
Just, she's in the background.
I mean,
people are saying, who's the beauty in the hat? And next thing you know, it's like, yep, it's Texas Tech's cheerleader, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
And so what will that do for her? It could end up sparking a good live. Not live.
NIL
deal.
Yeah, exactly. She gets a little NIL money. Yeah.
I mean, listen,
true.
We all know Livy Dunn from LSU. She's not the best gymnast in the United States, maybe not even the best gymnast at LSU, but she is the top NIL earner across the country.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So good
so,
for
yeah,
the battle.
I mean, hopefully we start hearing more about open doors. Maybe we'll play them on the air at some point. I don't know.
Are we no longer have kids being bat boys? Am I too old? Now we're like guys in bands?
No, I think it's a full-time paying job now.
It is a full-time paying job?
I think so,
now?
Yeah. Only in the minor leagues can you get a kid or a dog.
You get to travel with the team and everything?
It looks like you do.
Yeah, that's pretty nice. Imagine being a young man.
I mean, unless they got an open casting call in Cleveland and said, "Hey, yeah, any Yankee fans out here want to come come grab the bats when they're done?"
It's kind of a weird job, to be honest with you, man. It's kind of a weird gig.
Yeah.
Like, what exactly do you do? You go get the bat when it's over? Is that what you do? Like, we're adults. We can't just get them ourselves.
But going way back, did Dusty Baker's son ruin it for kids?
Is that what it was? That's a great question. That is a great question.
Because that's all
I
remember.
I would like to see a chart that shows the average age of a bat boy from the moment Dusty Baker had to be swiped off the plate. From that point, I want to see the chart that shows the average age go way up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Or is it child labor laws? Like, you can't employ a 7-year-old. It's like, he's just grabbing a bat.
Yeah. It's like one thing to bring an equipment manager. That sounds like
right.
NBA brings an equipment manager. NFL brings those are big time. That's an important job.
You know, I think the Major League Baseball has equipment managers.
I think they do. I don't even think that. Yeah. But this
you
guy
think
just runs on
the player
is
grabbing his own bats? Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Like it seems. I mean, I know. I'm going to. It sounds like a weird job.
It does. Like, I wonder what it pays, though.
What exactly do you do again? Exactly. All right, what's the bat of the day?
It might be. I'm just typing in the what an average bat boy makes. It could be that once I figure that out.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But the actual bat of the day is Isaiah Thomas proving Michael Jordan was right all along.
Uh-huh.
So he was in an interview on the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max show, and he got a little oversensitive. That's the only way I can describe it. Oversensitive on the picture they were using. Because he was calling in.
Now, I will give Isaiah credit a little bit because I heard it. He was having fun banter with the guys.
Yeah, but he did hang up on
them. But he did hang up. But he said he was going to hang up. He says, I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call you back in 5 seconds and I want a new picture. Because the picture that they showed of him was really stern and it looked angry. And it wasn't flashing the Isaiah Thomas smile. But that was the only one that they could bring up. They told him that was the only one they had. He goes, no, that's not true. And they went back and forth. They were wasting precious interview time on this silly picture that they used on the television.
Which is why I said, Isaiah, right then and there, you proved Jordan right.
Exactly.
All along.
Oh, exactly.
And I took that personally.
Yeah, we all want to be flattered. When
of course,
in a flattering light. I've seen like people post pictures of me on Facebook that I'm like, can you take that down? That's an awful.
I'm always nervous. I mean, anytime we interview someone, I'll post a photo of them along with the interview, just so you have an idea. And how many times have you called me back or texted me? And I did not realize that's what the guy looked like.
Yeah, exactly. I have an idea of what. These especially guys that we've had on. A number of times
oh, of
I've
course,
never seen a picture of. I have an image of what they look like. And then,
but every once in a while, one hits you and you're like,
whoa.
Nope, didn't expect that one.
That changes everything.
And I'm always nervous. Like, first of all, am I going to get the photo wrong? Or, is he not satisfied with that photo?
Right,
it's like,
right.
Am I going to get a text from him going, hey, man, can you change the photo?
Exactly.
I've never had, so no one's as sensitive as Isaiah Thomas.
they've never hung up on us and said, I noticed last time I was on, you used a photo of me from 2017 that I hate.
Yep.
So, no, I get tagged in pictures all the time. I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
why
then
you
look at
that?
It like, no. I didn't ask for that. Don't tag me. I don't want my. I don't need people to see me.
Awful. Especially like my really heavy days. People post pictures. I'm like, oh god, I worked really hard to get out of that.
Right.
I know I looked. Oh, never mind. But I let it go. But yeah, he got very, very sensitive. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. This might actually expand. So okay. I have a feeling you might want to dive into this a little bit more, but. The dumb of the day is that there are reports out there that the Jets and Packers haven't talked in weeks.
Yeah, they are standing off. Okay, now I agree with why it seems dumb, but I do understand both teams
are really playing off
each other badly.
I think the reason why I'm having it in the dumb was because there was so much hype, and Aaron already saying it's like he intends to play with the Jets. But the dumb part comes in that, okay, you guys aren't even sitting at the table anymore.
Well, again, with the draft coming up, they're both trying to play each other's options.
Right. I mean, I can see that happening. But if the draft comes and goes and a deal hasn't still been made, what's to make of this?
Well, I think both sides are looking.
Just real quick, here's what the Packers are rumored to be asking for, okay?
Okay.
The Packers are asking for a 2023 second rounder, and they want a guaranteed 2024 first rounder, but are willing to give something back in 2025 if Rodgers retires after one season. But the Jets don't want any of that. I don't think they want to give up a first rounder.
My only point on this is, from the standpoint is, both – I don't think there's an urgency today. I think we are taking our fandom into the urgency, and to these both sides are just looking at it as, we don't even have these guys reporting anytime soon. It's not like Aaron Rodgers needs to come into a workout next week. So they're playing each other off on how desperate and how close are you getting to the train before you jump off the track. Jets know they want Aaron Rodgers, and they know the Packers want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. So they're playing this sort of stalemate game. But
yeah, I mean, no, I think it's a perfect analogy, what you just said. You know, they're standing on the railroad tracks waiting, and it's like, who's going to jump first?
Yeah, yeah.
The game of chicken.
Exactly. It's the game of chicken. And so I think it's going to get done. It does not have to be done on April 13th. It will have to be done as we get closer to the first camps, I think, in May or June. But it's interesting. I am desperate to see what the end result's going to be.
It's a lot.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. I've never heard of this song for Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, I haven't either. The song is called Master and Servant.
Okay. Who's it by?
Depeche Mode.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I kind of like Depeche Mode, and I didn't know this song.
I mean, now you hear this part, you're like, okay, that sounds like them.
Yeah. Didn't Depeche Mode do Personal Jesus? Wasn't it their big hit back in the day? There you go. I wasn't a diehard Depeche Mode fan, but I knew like all my friends were.
Was anyone a diehard Depeche Mode fan?
Yeah, there was.
Were
like
there?
Yeah, there were. They were like real. It was a clicky type of like nouveau thing. But yeah,
I remember I had a friend who was a diehard Erasure fan.
Yeah, there was. Well, so I graduated in 1989. So in the 80s, there were the hair band fans, the metal fans, and then there was like the Depeche Mode kind of kids.
Yeah.
That liked them. And then, I was sort of like, I liked a lot of, like, I was more classic rock thing, like the 70s, and I still like the 70s to this day. I still like Fleetwood Mac, Kiss. Like, Kiss was my favorite band when I was a kid. You know, groups like that. And I was always into Billy Joel when I was young. I don't know why. I don't know if my parents listened to Billy Joel or whatever, but I always liked Billy Joel. I thought he was really great. And, you know, then you get older and I became a big Pearl Jam fan and whatnot. So my tastes have changed, but I remember a kid, Matt Gross, was a kid. He went on to become, he wrote a book and he worked in politics for years. But he was a big Depeche Mode fan when I was in high school. That's the beauty of going to a small high school, is that I knew everybody. Everybody knew me, and I knew all their tastes and things. Nevertheless, so let's get back to the Packers and the Jets. Who do you think is going to win this out? Do you think both sides are going to be happy, or do you think one side's going to feel like they got a little fleeced when this is all said and done?
I honestly think that both sides will end up feeling fleeced, okay? I think the Packers will feel like they got fleeced at first because the Jets are getting Aaron Rodgers. But I think as the season begins and Aaron does play, I think the Jets will end up feeling like they're the ones who got fleeced.
So right now, as you pointed out, Charles Robinson at Yahoo Sports is saying that the Packers want a second-round pick this year.
Yeah.
And a first-round pick next year.
Right.
Right? So the Packers are also willing to throw in a pick to the Jets that can be, returned?
Redeemed.
Rodgers, redeemed, if you will, if Rodgers decides to retire.
Yeah.
So if Rodgers plays.
Plays one season and then quits.
Retires,
and
they retires. Get a pick. The Packers will go, here you go. We're sorry about that.
Yeah, here's a 2025 coupon.
Exactly.
For you.
The Packers, through the contracts, are on the hook for nearly $60 million on Rodgers. So if you're the Jets, okay, and you are trying to build right now, like add pieces right now, would you play this out to say, oh, we'd love to give you a 2023 draft pick, but the draft's over? Sorry about that. We waited too long. You didn't come to the table. We tried to talk. You didn't budge. And, yeah, the draft came and went. And we got our offensive lineman.
Here's the deal. The Jets have two draft picks in round two this year.
Right.
They have number 42 and number 43.
So they want.
So they just want. I mean, they'll probably obviously they'd probably want 42, but I mean, what's the difference if you take 42 or 43?
43, yeah.
I mean, I don't see that. Or, you know, maybe they would turn around. The only thing I'm foreseeing though is that yes, the Jets have the Packers where they want them right now, but as we get closer to the draft, and if no deal is done, would the Packers go, you know what, we're just going to keep them?
Well, there's an idea there was an idea that's been floated that they would go, screw it, we'll just keep him, we'll pay him, but we'll still pay Jordan Love. We'll basically pay him to not play.
Yeah.
Kind of like what they did with what the Texans did with Deshaun Watson. But they didn't pay Deshaun Watson, right? They just got him. They just
I think they did pay him.
They told him not to be around.
Yeah.
Then he got paid.
Still got paid.
They could do that. They just take their losses and go, you know what?
He showed
up. 1 year. Here's your money. Don't come around. We got Jordan Love. We'll survive and we'll.
Yeah, here's your money. Go sit in a cave. Go do the dark therapy again. No, Deshaun Watson. I remember he got paid. He would show up to practice.
But nevertheless, so
he was just never used.
Right. That's what they could use in the Aaron Rodgers situation. They could say. They have to pay him because he didn't do anything wrong. The reason I was thinking about Deshaun Watson is, could you suspend a guy without pay if you are going through 60 women in Houston and having sexual harassment charges filed against you? Could you not pay that individual? But Aaron Rodgers did not commit a crime. He is not under the personal conduct policy. He's not being investigated for anything. He's just a quarterback.
He might get tested for hardcore drugs from time to time. That's about it.
So in Green Bay's case, they would say, here's your money, and we are going with Jordan Love, and you can stay home.
Yeah.
And you can figure out what you want to do. Just don't be around.
So then that's when I look back at the Jets and go, that's a dangerous game for you to play because you don't really have – I mean, you've already gotten rid of Mike White. Mike White is gone, right?
Right.
Yeah, he's with the Dolphins. Joe Flacco is a free agent, I believe. And you have Zach Wilson on the roster.
That you don't want anymore.
That you don't want. And you've made it publicly clear that you don't want Zach Wilson. And we already know Zach Wilson is fragile.
So if you're the Jets, are you playing the game of, we know you don't want to pay a guy $60 million to not play. We know that you want that money to be working on the rebuild, to make the team better around Jordan Love. Or do you say, if that's a legit threat that they would pay him and just sacrifice this season and bite the bullet on principle because of where we're not budging on this deal, it would force your side, right? It would force your position. The other problem that that both of these teams have is it doesn't appear as anybody else is in the running for Aaron Rodgers.
No.
Right? So that's it. So the Packers can only it's not like the Colts have raised their hand and said, hey, you know what? When you two get done tired yelling at each other, somebody give us a call.
The Colts aren't even raising their hand for Lamar Jackson.
Right, exactly.
They're like, you know, we're going to go find it in the draft. We'll find some, you know, minuscule. Maybe we'll bring back Phillip Rivers. I don't know.
So this is playing out rather interesting. If I'm the Jets, I don't want to be the Denver Broncos, right? Look what the Denver Broncos just did. Drew Lock, Noah Fant. Here's a bunch of picks for Russell Wilson, who's not working out today. Maybe tomorrow, but not now. And what the Jets are trying to do is, like, we're not going to get fleeced on a guy that might play 2 years. And if we get Aaron Rodgers, the goal would be Super Bowl within a year or two. That's it. That's really the window. The window is today. So we want to maximize getting as good as we possibly can right now. And you can get real value in the second round. You can get starters on your defensive line. You can get starters on your offensive line with second round picks. But you can get depth. That's the most important thing. You can get quality depth at those positions. So if I'm the Jets, I'm like, I know you want to get rid of Aaron Rodgers to rebuild. We want Aaron Rodgers to contend. So in order for it to work for us, we need things that we can contend today. How would you just like to get rid of the money and I can give you pieces a little bit down the road that'll help you rebuild, because you're looking at tomorrow and the next year. We're looking at today. If nothing happens with Aaron Rodgers next year, meaning he comes on this team and we play well and we get some extra wins, but we lose in the first round of the playoffs to Kansas City, that's not good enough. The reason why we're making this deal with you is to win a Super Bowl. We have to be competitive to win a Super Bowl. So for us, whatever those two picks are in the second round that we have, we kind of want them. We kind of want them because we want to build, we want to have a roster that can be effective today. Because again, I don't know how long we've got. Now, let's say in this world I'm talking about, Aaron Rodgers has a Russell Wilson type of year, right? Like, for whatever reason, the Jets are terrible. And Aaron Rodgers is throwing his hand up like, I don't know what's going on here. The Jets are like, that means he's going to want out of here. We're not going to be shorthanded when it comes to building again. They're trying to protect themselves in a way. But I go back to this. If you want Aaron Rodgers, it's going to cost you something. It has to cost you something. You can't just get him for nothing.
Right.
Like, that's not going to happen. Like, you can't get him for a third round pick in the 2026 draft. Like, something like that. You're not going to get them for it. Like, the Packers aren't that desperate. They have a valuable commodity. He may not be a super valuable commodity like Russell Wilson was, but he's very valuable. Very fascinating. All right, Pat Donovan's going to come up next. The 12-0 Tampa Bay Rays. We'll revisit this in hour three. That is kind of interesting. Pat Donovan's going to join us. We'll talk about the Rays and their 12-0 start. And what's happening down there in St. Petersburg, Tampa? We'll talk about that next. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNet Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's a throwback Thursday again as we continue on Wake Up Call. Let's go to our Progressive guest line, Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save nearly $700 on average. Visit them for a quote today at progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Tampa Bay Rays are 12-0. They're one win away from tying the record of 13 straight to open up the season. They are number one in categories, ERA, batting average, runs scored. It's wild. Pat Donovan in WDAE, the great station down in Tampa, St. Pete, to help us sort all this out with the Rays. How are you, my friend?
I am well. Tony, am I lazy if I consider just putting my phone up to the radio and playing DJ Khaled, all we do is win?
That's right. You can. You can do it. All you do is win. This is not a surprise, though, that the Rays have been good for a while. They're a playoff team. They were in the World Series a couple of years ago. But who's the straw? Who are the straws that are stirring this 12-0 drink?
Well, listen, you can't get to 12-0 and you can't stir this drink without the pitching staff, which is just, despite some injuries, right, already off to an unbelievable start. But also, when you look at offensively, where it seems like just about everyone is coming through, the beginning of the year, and by the way, you have to wonder if the WBC played into this, because Randy Arozarena was fantastic in the WBC and has started the season red hot. And then Wander Franco continues to look like, when healthy, an MVP candidate, which is our expectation for this young man. Last night, I think a prime example of that, you know, you're talking about a guy that three doubles in a game. You know, that's what great hitters do, right? They take what's given to them, and they're not looking for the home run. They're not looking for anything special. They just take what's given to them, and that's what Wander does at such a young age, which is so impressive.
Now, let's talk about this organization, because they have done something that I think other teams look at and go, all right, look, they're not spending a ton of money. They're not the Dodgers. They're not the Yankees. But they win. They, like I said earlier, they have consistently been a presence in the postseason. They are, when they're in the postseason, they're that team you don't want to face because they've got a lot of young talent. How is it built organizationally that they can bring in players, lose players, but continue to replace players with other good players?
Like, I'm not a Dungeons and Dragons guy or anything like that, man, but I feel like it's magic. I don't know what, like, they, listen, this is insanity. You're not supposed to have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball and compete. And you know what? It's cute when you do it once or twice. It's cute when you do it for a few years.
Yeah.
For 15 years now, the Rays have been one of the most consistent teams in all of baseball, and they continue to do it in different ways. They continue to, you know, you think about what they've done to compete for this long is amazing, but it's not just that, Tony, right? They've changed the game of baseball multiple times. They start this opener thing, and some moron, okay, it was me, goes on the radio and goes, this will never work. You'll never see the Yankees do this. The opener, wow, this is dumb. Well, guess what? Everyone's utilized the opener since then. They've changed the game multiple times. And the only thing I can point to is magic. I don't know, man. They're special, and I love being a part of it.
All right, so I'm going to ask you the other question. How many people are catching this? This is the one aspect of the flip side of their success is people sort of go, yeah, they only had 12,000 people show up for this. They only had 13,000 people show up for this. Where's the attention to this team in that city?
What's funny is, to start the year, their attendance has been a little bit better. But it's never going to be what you see in New York or Boston or any of these markets where people who live there and go to games and root for that team grew up there, right? Like, and they're just bigger cities. So we're right. Never going to match the attendance that we see in markets like that. But what I think a lot of people nationally don't really understand about this team, right? Most people would guess if you were to look at the two places, if you look at Amalie Arena and Tropicana Field, and you could see all those empty seats in Tropicana Field, and you can't find one at Amalie Arena, you go, wow, I can't believe the Lightning are so much more popular than the Tampa Bay Rays. But if you dig a little bit, you learn that the Rays numbers on television, astronomically better than the Lightning. Same thing on the radio, right? When we start talking Lightning hockey, we can have what I feel like is the best conversation in the world and get no phone calls. But we start talking Rays baseball, and the reaction from the listeners, much greater. So believe it or not, this team is so much more popular than the Tampa Bay Lightning, who, because of their success in a packed building, we all assume is the much more popular product. But the reality is people love Rays baseball. They don't love Tropicana Field. They don't love the drive across the bridge. It's been a little bit better this year. I'm intrigued to see what it'll happen when they build the new ballpark, which I do think is going to happen, because I don't think it ends up in Tampa where it needs to be. All signs are pointing it's going to be right across the street in St. Pete. How's it going to look after a little while? I'm not sure. I'm nervous about it, but it unfortunately feels like the only option.
My wife grew up in St. Petersburg. She's told me that forever. We've been married 25 years, and she says to me all the time, because I ask her this stuff. I said, what's the deal with this? She goes, they just don't cross the bridge to St. Pete. St. Pete will cross the bridge to Tampa. She goes, they'll go to Lightning games. If you live in St. Pete, you'll go to a Lightning game. Obviously, everybody goes to a Bucks game, but they will cross the bridge to go see the Lightning. But they will not cross the other way to St. Petersburg to watch this baseball team. And I've always found that fascinating.
It's incredibly weird, right? But I think that, A, we're seeing a little bit of a tick up, believe it or not, in the attendance this year. And I think part of that is the fact that, oh, wow, I can get out of the game by 8:45, 9 o'clock and get home at a reasonable hour as opposed to last year when I wasn't even leaving the ballpark till 10:30 sometimes. So that's added to things. And I think a beautiful brand-new ballpark will help as well. But I don't think for anybody outside the area that they can ever expect to see a ballpark that looks like, and by the way, I've seen a lot of empty seats at Yankees and Red Sox games recently, too. Yeah. Like, this is a trend in Major League Baseball. But we're never going to look like those other markets. It's too transient a market. There are too many people that come here and hold on to their allegiances. But we're just now, right? This year, this team is celebrating the 25-year anniversary this season. We're just now starting to get some of those kids that grew up as Rays
Great
fans.
Point. I was going to just ask you about that. Is there? Have you noticed as you mingle with what do you call them? The goons? Is that what it is? The goon squad?
You got it.
Yeah. When you mingle with them and you see the younger people, the 22-year-olds, the 23-year-olds, the guys that are now starting to become professionals and got some money and whatnot, are you starting to see this is the only team I know? I grew up here. I grew up in St. Pete. I grew up in Clearwater. This is the only team I know. This is the only team I rooted for.
Yeah, it's totally different. It really is. And I've only been here for about 17, I guess it's getting longer now. It's about 17 years myself, but I remember moving here and you didn't see Devil Rays gear. You didn't see, even when they switched over to the Rays, there was that little push because it's a new logo. And we like the TB on the hat and that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, like, there weren't a ton, even after the switch, there weren't a ton of people rocking Rays gear, right? Even after the World Series, I didn't see the kind of Rays gear that I see today. So absolutely, again, I've been here about 17 years. This franchise was in its infancy when I got here. And the amount of people that care about this team versus when it began is astronomically different, even though, again, you kind of can't tell on TV.
I got 1 minute, but where do they stand with the possible stadium in Tampa? I mean, it wasn't that long ago they were proposing we'll play half our games in Montreal. Like, where are they with this new stadium? Could they stay at Tropicana Field, or is that dead? And is there a new stadium that's viable in Tampa?
It won't be on the Tampa side. I will tell you that. That's a prediction. That is not a fact. But when you look at all, we know a lot of people, man. And when you look at the conversations and you know, St. Pete just has more money. And if the Tampa's not going to end up with the money to pay for it, the reality is it's going to end up back in St. Pete. But I do think it ends up back in St. Pete. And again, it is a growing fan base, even though it's not the biggest fan base. And I think that eventually this team's really going to take hold here. I don't think you end up seeing this team anywhere else in the country at any point in our lifetime. I actually believe that.
I do think – I see St. Pete growing. Downtown St. Pete is really growing from when I was dating my wife 25 years ago. But it looks like – you're right. I think it looks like it might encompass like what Denver has with a downtown district kind of thing with the ballpark.
Designs look gorgeous, by the way. Like, what they're going to do down – I know you got to go, but what they're going to do down there will be great. And will
Pat, always great catching up with you, my friend. I can't wait for football season, but we'll catch up with you down the road if the Lightning make a nice little run in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Let's hope so. I'm nervous.
Me too. Thanks a lot, my friend. Always good talking to you, my man.
You too, Tony.
You got it. That's Pat Donovan, WDAE in Tampa. And, again, on the Rays on the 12-0 start in this afternoon. So we'll know in a couple of hours whether they got the 13-0 record and tied both the Atlanta Braves and the Milwaukee Brewers for the fastest start in Major League Baseball history. It's really – when you think about the baseball, when you think about how long baseball has been in existence, Major League Baseball has been in existence – and in 2023, we can still talk about a team that is on the verge of tying a record, a Major League Baseball record for the fastest start. And if they win today, then could have a chance to break it. Pretty impressive. There was not a team in like 1901 that won 27 straight games, right? There's 14 is a lot to start the season. But they've got 12 now, and they play Boston to wrap up the season at Tropicana Field to see if they can pull that one off. Hour 3 coming up next. More on the Green Bay Packers and the New York Jets. We'll get into some other things going on with the NBA as well as we continue at Sports Map Radio.